Good morning, Bonavista Church. Good to be with you again on this Sunday morning in the summertime. And it's good to be able to have some good weather and to be able to enjoy being outside and doing things as families. I always like to start off these messages with a little talk with the children. And kids, I want you to know just how much I care about each one of you. When I think about you, I remember your wonderful little faces and what joy you bring to me every time I see you on a Sunday morning. I wish I could just kind of sneak through and look at and see you through the screen. I like looking at your crafts and your story work that you do in your kids program that you show me on Sunday mornings. I want you to always remember that you matter to me and you especially matter to Jesus. He knows your name, and He cares about you. I hope you have a great morning today. This morning I want to turn our attention to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Listen to the prayer that Paul prays for the people in Ephesus. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance, in His holy people. This morning, I want to continue in the series of messages that we've been working through called My Prayer for You. These prayers are rooted in the prayers of Paul as he prayed for the churches that he loves so much. I don't know if you've noticed the graphic for this series, but it's a photo of the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall of the temple in Jerusalem. People come from all over the world to this site and gather at this wall and pray. And as they pray, they frequently write out their prayers and then push them into the little cracks that are between the stones that have been there for over 2,000 years. I've done that. I've taken a prayer that I wrote out for you, for Bonavista Church, and prayed it on your behalf, asking God to watch over you. And then I placed that prayer into the little cracks in the rock. Paul himself would have walked past this site many times. He would have studied with Gamaliel, the rabbi, on the stone steps leading up to the temple. And I want you to hear these prayers that Paul prayed for you, the way that Paul prayed for his people. These are my words to encourage you as a congregation, to exhort you, to challenge you, to remind you of God's great grace to all of us, to remember that His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Paul is writing to and praying for the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was a powerful Roman city situated in modern-day Turkey. The Ephesians are a cosmopolitan bunch from all over the world. It's a well-to-do city with all of the amenities. There's three fantastic theaters, some of them seating over 30,000 people. Gymnasium, public spa, water spas, and courtyards, and beautiful outdoor markets, and fabulous colonnaded streets. When you walk into Ephesus, it takes your breath away. When you enter Ephesus, you end up feeling exactly the way the Romans wanted you to feel when you entered one of their cities. Overwhelmed by their power, amazed at their construction, and just a little intimidated by their power. The city oozed success. And the Greeks were still around with their highly developed philosophies, their art, and their music. Ephesus was a great place to live. It's strange, but in some ways, it's harder to live as a follower of Jesus where everything is good, where success is strong, where life is easy. You and I in Canada, we don't experience hardship like much of the rest of the world. So many people live in severe poverty, sickness, disease, abuse, corruption. We live in a country with tremendous freedoms, incredible peace, massive resources, and a high standard of living. But in so many ways, we're blinded by the lie as well. The lie that all is well. All is not well. I don't think even the Canadian church at large can sing, "It is well with my soul." We have all the trappings of success, beautiful buildings, talented pastors, television contracts, political influence. But what is the condition of our heart? What is the condition of our soul? Paul prays for these Ephesian Christians in this powerful, successful city. And this prayer is just as vital today as it was then. The heart of Paul's prayer can be summarized by this one statement that he says, that you may know him, that is, you may know Christ better. The word better does not have a sense of completion to it. It's ongoing, it's continuous, it's growing, it's deepening. This is what Lori and I want for Bonavista Church in the years ahead. That you would continue to know God better. We're never done. Paul says in Philippians that his desire is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And the way we are to know Christ better is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to penetrate the spiritual fog that we find ourselves in. We need the Spirit of God to open our minds and to open our eyes to see the glory of God. So what does Paul say we need? He wants us to know Christ better. So what do we need? He prays that God may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. If we receive the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, we will then be able to know God better. Or, without the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, we cannot know God better. I remember that Lori and I started a small group for new believers and seekers in our home. At least half of the group had to be made up of people who as yet were not followers of Jesus. I think this was one of our better ideas. And so this interesting group of people came together, about 15. Such a dynamic gathering with lots of questions and ideas and life. And as the discussion grew, people who didn't know Jesus slowly became followers of Christ. Their eyes were opened and they opened their hearts to the truth of Jesus. One evening, one of those who had said they were a Christian when they came into the group just kind of burst out with this. "You all seem to see something in the scriptures we're studying that I just don't see. I never seem to be able to understand what we're studying." We gently talked about how the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see. But she was just frustrated. The next week when we came back for our study, she entered the room beaming with excitement. We asked, "What happened?" And she said, "I realized that I'd always thought I was a Christian. When I was a child, we went to church and Sunday school. My family were nice people. We knew about the Bible. But I realized that I had never opened my own heart to Christ. I prayed and I asked Jesus to fill my life with His presence. And now I'm seeing things in the Scripture I never saw before." Today, this woman is a dynamic leader in her church in another province. See, that's the illumination that comes from the Spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation is connected to the spirit of wisdom, and wisdom is connected to knowledge. It's like a triangle. Each side needs the other. There are two sides to knowledge. The first side is the facts and figures kind of knowledge, the kind of knowledge you need if you want to win a Jeopardy. The Bible gives us a lot of informational knowledge about God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's ever present. He forgives. He is merciful. He never changes. Then there's a kind of knowledge that comes through experience. This is the knowledge that comes by spending time with someone. You get to know them beyond the facts. Paul ties knowledge to wisdom. Wisdom uses knowledge for understanding and for application. Just because you know something doesn't mean you understand it. And just because you know something doesn't mean you know what to do with it. Many people have a vast collection of knowledge, but they either don't use that knowledge or they misuse the knowledge because they don't have wisdom. Wise people are able to take knowledge and use it in a productive way. And finally, the spirit of revelation helps us to see what we could not normally see. The spirit of revelation reveals to us the truth. Like our friend in the Bible study, the Spirit of God opens our spiritual eyes to see the spiritual realm that is normally hidden from us. In 1998, Bonavista Church was in a season of rapid growth, and we were working through the development of a building program. Our associate pastor, Bruce Archer, had just moved to Edmonton to take his own church. At the time, it was just Christine Dedman and I on staff, and things were going crazy. We interviewed multiple individuals for the associate role, but no one was right. One person seemed right. They checked all the boxes, and so we brought him in for the weekend. After the weekend, the hiring team felt that maybe we should move forward, but something was just a little off for me. After thinking about it for a day or two and praying about it, I said I didn't think it would work, and the team agreed. I contacted the man and told him that we had decided not to move forward with him. He was about 10 years older than me, and he absolutely lost it on the phone with me, yelling at me, obscenities, anger. It was absolutely obvious to me that we had made the right decision. Knowledge and wisdom and spiritual revelation work together to help us see what we may not have otherwise been able to see. But that meant we were still without anyone. I was at the annual denominational meetings that spring where I discovered that David Krause was available. David had been the senior pastor at Bonavista Church when I came. I served as his associate for 2 years, and then he went on to a denominational leadership role. However, he was now no longer in that role. I remember it struck me like a thunderbolt. Maybe David would consider coming on staff with me. He and Karen still attended Bonavista Church along with their family. I could hardly wait to get home to discuss this idea with Lori. I already knew it was absolute craziness. David had been my boss. David was 10 years older than I. Why would he want to come back to a pastoral life as an associate pastor to the man that he once was the boss of and trained? But David and I had maintained a great relationship over the years, working on many projects. I loved working with him and believed that we could work very well together again. And so I talked it over with our leadership team and then approached David. David and Karen agreed, and over the next 5 years, we had a terrific time working with each other. But it was something that everyone told us would never work. It was a crazy idea. It was wrong, disastrous. But it was wonderful. It was such a gracious and yet very strong and capable person. There was knowledge. There was wisdom. But it was the work of the Holy Spirit that revealed to us the right path to take. It would have been so easy to panic, to out of desperation and exhaustion make a different decision. We'd had to wait 14 months without anyone to come to that point. The whole point of the spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation is that we could know God better. Did we know God better after this process at Buena Vista? I think so. We learned some things about God that would help us in the years to come. We learned that God does not do well when he's rushed. We seem to have this agenda for God. Get me what I want and do it fast. But God knew what was best for us. We learned that God sees what lies ahead far better than we do. We would have never imagined this is how things would work out. I had no thought that we would have someone like David come work with us. All the pieces that had to come together proved that God's timing was impeccable. We needed to learn these things. There were deeper waters ahead that would require us to learn how to trust God. Do you see how faith is an outcome? When you learn who God is, then you learn to trust Him. But the thing about trust is that it has to be earned. Trust requires a track record. Anybody can say, trust me. Maybe you've actually sat down with a salesman you've never met before, and he says, you trust me. But wisdom says that trust needs to be proven. I've talked with many people whose spouse has been unfaithful to them. But now they want to get back together again. And so one of them will say, But Pastor, they said they would never do it again. Now, I'm glad to hear those words. That's a good place to start. But I want to see a pattern of faithfulness built up before I trust those words. A track record of faithfulness for several months speaks much louder than a few words. God has proven himself faithful for generations. He's proven himself faithful to us at Buena Vista Church. And that track record is something that we can build on, we've been building on. Wisdom takes the knowledge of God and his faithfulness and applies it to the circumstances that are right in front of us. So, can you and I trust God for tomorrow? I've had many people recently ask me, what's going to happen to Buena Vista Church when you're gone? Lori and I, we're aware that we've left our imprint deeply on Buena Vista Church. We know that. Our hearts are so wound up around yours. Sometimes I hardly know where Buena Vista ends and I begin. But Lori and I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that the future of Buena Vista is not in our hands and it's not tied to us. We've never wanted Buena Vista to be about us. We've been extremely proud to be part of the journey. But it is not about us. It's about trust and faith in God so that you can know him better. This prayer of Paul's the teaching we have shared, these experiences we've walked through, these lessons about who God is, are part of what we need to trust for the days to come. God has proven himself over and over again and will continue to prove himself into the future. We have learned to trust him. Well, I wish I could say that I have always practiced the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But I've been far too impatient, too anxious, too self-reliant at times. I can easily see what I think is the best thing to do and rely on my own wisdom. It seems so obvious. I forget about the spirit of revelation. I see everything far too clearly myself, and then I discover just how dangerous that can be. Sometimes I hear in the church that we don't act swiftly enough. Why does it take so long for certain things to happen? Well, remember who the church is. We are the church. The church is not some corporation. The church is not about being out in front of the world or getting things done in a hurry. One of the values that God has given us as a church is that it's always people over programs. We don't run over top of people to get some program in place. Our desire is to know God better and help each other get to know God better. That's the bottom line. That means that at times we need to trust God to practice wisdom, to listen to the spirit of revelation. Anyone looking at our decision to hire David Krause would have said, no, bad idea, never works. Conventional wisdom said that it was not wise, but a spirit of wisdom and revelation had other things in mind. As we look to where God is taking Bonavista, we need to listen very carefully to the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We have been learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit in a deeper way these days. I don't believe that the course God is charting for Bonavista Church is going to follow conventional lines. We shouldn't say, well, this is how other churches do it or have done it. We shouldn't say, this is what is normally done. We shouldn't get caught in this comparison or this competitive kind of thinking. Instead, collectively, we need to ask God to enlighten our eyes so that we can see the hope that he's calling us to. Some may not have the courage to walk this new road. But as followers of Jesus, we do not have a reckless courage. We have a deep-seated trust, a profound faith in God. By the Holy Spirit, we can see what we would not normally see. By the Spirit of wisdom, we can know what we do not normally know. So don't settle for the conventional. Press into the wisdom, press into the revelation that comes uniquely from the Spirit of God. He's opening a brand new door for Bonavista. Be ready to see it with new eyes. And so, this is my prayer for you. I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation so that you could know God better. That when the tough decisions come, you will learn how to listen together and allow your eyes to be open to the possibilities that God has in mind. That you will not surrender to the spirit of conventional wisdom and thinking. That you will instead trust in a faithful God who has never failed you yet. He is calling you. And he's preparing you for a new day. So lift up your heads. Open your eyes and see the hope to which He has called you to, His great and glorious hope. We do not stop giving thanks for you. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So now, lift your faces up towards heaven and receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance toward you and give you His peace. Oh, His peace. Amen.